We're studying in the body of Christ, sections of scripture about the body of Christ, and the different aspects that they tell us about it. One thing we're going to be looking at in particular tonight is about what some people think, the one line of scripture that some people think negates all Paul's teaching about our being saved. Saved now, you know, if you ever end up in hell, you weren't ever saved from hell, or from God's wrath. If you're saved, you're saved, and it's not a temporary thing. It's a change of condition, and God brings us along until the day of His return. So the day of Christ, it says. Welcome to the room. So let's go into that gospel a little bit. Let's take a look at it verse by verse, starting in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. And if someone could post verses for us, that would serve us all well and help us. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you, I declare unto you the gospel. So Paul's telling them the gospel, and he tells them which one, which I preached unto you. So he had preached it to them, and he's writing back and declaring it to them again. Paul himself is, you know, wouldn't you like to have been there and heard Paul himself preach to you? Well, he's declaring it to them in a letter, telling them the gospel of salvation. And it's the same gospel that he had preached to them in person. In Acts, you can read it in Acts, account anyway, in Acts 18, verses 7 through 11, when he preached to them the gospel of salvation. And it was after he had preached to them the gospel of God, in Acts 18, verses 1 to 6, as his manner was, according to Acts 17, verses 2 and 3. So Paul distinguishes the gospel he preaches as different from the gospel which others preached at that time. There were other gospels out there. This was a wedge of cheese kind of time, a period of time in Acts where you'd take, as an example to help you visualize it, if you took a brick of cheese and cut it diagonally from the upper left to the lower right, put it that way, upper left to the lower right, diagonally, and kept it there as a block together, that line would show the left wedge on the bottom would be Israel diminishing through Acts. And the top part of the wedge, on starting at almost nothing and then going down to where it's the whole block of cheese, on the right, lower right corner, that would be the body of Christ growing through Acts. So you had, during that brief period there, maybe as much as a quarter of a century, you had two gospels being preached, two types of churches in existence at the same time. Two types of churches. One was Israel's church, believing the covenants, believing Christ was returning to bring his kingdom to earth, to rule the earth. And he will. It's just that the leadership committed the unforgivable sin of not believing and doing the opposite of believing that Jesus was the Christ. They blasphemed the Holy Ghost when the Holy Ghost was speaking through Stephen about the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the Lord was still courting individual Jews through a large part of Acts. After Israel fell from being the nation to receive that kingdom at that time. But the Lord will bring them back when his time is right, but it's not right yet. In the meantime, almost immediately later in Acts 9, Paul was saved. And he was saved as an unforgivable Jew, unforgivable person, regardless of whether he was a Jew or not, without respect to his nationality or being in the covenant or blessing anybody. He was saved strictly as a sinner. 1 Timothy 1:15 and 16, as a sinner. He was the first one that way. In me first, it says. He was the chief of sinners, the head of the line. So he distinguishes between his, Paul distinguishes between his gospel and the gospel that others were preaching. For instance, the little flock. The Church of God in Jerusalem preached a different gospel. They preached the covenant gospel. The covenant, it's called the gospel of the kingdom, and it was called the gospel of the circumcision. It was under the law. They were under the law. But in the first, he does this several times. He distinguishes between his gospel and Peter's gospel, or the little flock's gospel. Twice in the first verse, Paul specifies to be careful, it's not the same as what you heard in the past. So this gospel will save you if you keep in memory, when deciding to be saved or not, keep in memory that gospel which I preached unto you. He's very specific. Not the others that won't save you anymore. What I preached unto you is all that saves now. Their gospel no longer saves people. So I hope that's clear. It was after Israel fell, and it was their gospel was not saving people anymore. It's actually, it didn't save anybody yet. It's Acts 3:19-21. It saves people when they've endured to the end, and the Lord returns to blot out their sins. So that's their Day of Atonement. Zechariah 13:1. So, but let's look back at the verse. Verse 1 again. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received. So they had to receive it. We often say believed. In other places it says believed. Received is a little stronger. It's a little more. They believed it, not just that it's a fact, but they believed it under their own condition to save them. That it was their condemnation at stake, and they needed to get rid of that condemnation, and they received what Christ had done for them. And wherein you stand, he's saying, you have received it, that's your standing, and by receiving that gospel you are saved. So verse 2, by which also you are saved. Not waiting to be saved like Israel was at the return of Christ to have their sins blotted out. But he's saying you are saved. If, and here's the part that many people misconstrue, they think it's for the rest of your life you have to keep in memory what I preached unto you. If you turn away, you're not saved anymore. It doesn't say any of that, does it? It's talking about salvation, not about probation or about staying saved. It's talking about how to get saved. So when you want to get saved, if you keep in memory or remember what I preached unto you. There it is again. It shows up again. What I preached unto you. What do you have to remember? Not Peter's gospel. Not the gospel of the kingdom. But Paul's gospel. The gospel of Christ. Gospel of Christ. That Christ died for your... Well, we'll see that in a minute when we get to verses 3 and 4. But that Christ died for your sins, not his own. He didn't have any sins. He died for your sins and rose to justify you. Notice the Bible says you are saved, and that's different from Israel. Those who believe Peter's gospel will be saved at the return of Christ. If, there's a valid if they endure to the end. Some examples of people that didn't endure to the end, that the Bible gives us these examples to show that that's the case. Ananias, Sapphira, Judas, these people did not endure to the end. Paul would have been in that position, Saul of Tarsus would have been in that position if the Lord had not saved him because of God's plan to start a new pattern of salvation, saving sinners, not law keepers, not covenant keepers, but sinners. That's grace. Undeserved, for sure. But Paul said, you have received this saving message. That's a believing of it. That's acquiring it for your own condition, for yourself. Receiving it. And that's a big difference that we're showing here. It is crucial to not only know the facts about how God saves people today by having died for their sins, but acquiring it for yourself. You trust Him to save you, as He said. If God does not save you on the basis that He said He will, then we're all lost. He does. He does save. You can trust Him. You're lost, I'm lost, and you know, if He doesn't save people the way He said He would save in this dispensation, by grace, through faith, then we're lost. But we're not. We're saved. We believe. We receive it to our condition, His remedy, His salvation, that He died for our sins. Christ is trustworthy. He does save us. Believe Him. So He's saying that they would avoid believing in vain, in the middle of the verse, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. During that process of what they're doing here, they're receiving Christ. Or those that have received Christ are passing this on to others so that they can receive Christ. This is the gospel of how to be saved. So when you're deciding whether or not to believe Christ and His gospel, that He died for your sins, you have to remember what Paul said about it, not the others. The others comment about the death of Christ. Peter does, both in 1 Peter and a couple times in 1 Peter, and in Acts 2, 3, 4, and 5, in that area. Paul is consistent in what he teaches in all his epistles. Remember what he preaches about salvation, and don't mix what he preaches about other things with what he preaches about salvation. He does preach that we should do good works. After he tells us very plainly that we're saved by grace through faith without works, he says that we are created in Christ. We that believe have to be created in Christ Jesus before we can do the good works. He says we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Not from good works, but unto good works. Welcome to the room. We're going through a study about the body of Christ. But, he talked about things like women preaching in church, or about head coverings, about doing good works. But these things are not about salvation. Salvation is without our works. It's with our faith, our total faith, not just some faith and then saying, well, Lord, I better help here. I better get baptized, or I better keep going to church, or give my money or something. No, it's that. Those aren't. What you have to do is lay back. Forget about all the things you can try to do to be good enough for God. You must not understand how good God is and how good He demands. He demands His own righteousness in us, and He gives us His righteousness when we trust that He will do it all for us. Christ died for our sins. And that's all there is to it. They're all died for already. So when Paul was giving this, later on, afterwards, Paul told later on after later in the Bible, Paul told the Colossians that they did not need to keep the ordinances. Well, what about in 1 Corinthians when he wrote to Corinth earlier, still in the book of Acts, before Colossians was even written? He said in 1 Corinthians 11:2, I praise you, brethren, that you keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. How did Paul deliver the ordinances to him? Well, it's documented at the end of Acts 15 and through 16 and some of the chapters there. Time and time again, he's delivering the ordinances to the individual churches, the body of Christ churches. But the Colossians account, where he says that they did not need to keep the ordinances, that was later on, after the end of Acts, when Israel had been fully blinded. You can read about their blinding. They lost the opportunity to receive the at-hand kingdom in Acts 7. They lost that. They fell. But they weren't fully blinded and cast away until Acts 28. They went through a diminishing, it says in Romans 11, 12. They went through a diminishing throughout Acts until you get to their casting away in Acts 28, verses 25 to 29, in that area there. And what he wrote to the Colossians was after Israel had fully been blinded and cast away. Paul said that they do not need to keep the ordinances. So we're later than they are, than those Colossians were, so that liberty still applies to us. But the point is that you do not add to what Paul said about salvation. 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4 is about salvation, how to be saved. But instead of adding to what Paul said, keep in memory what he did preach. When you're making your salvation decision, you are not to add something to it, because he did not preach what you add to it. Okay? And Paul did not preach that you need works for salvation. You need to do works for salvation. He never preached anything like that. As well as faith. You know, you don't. It's not a mixture. It's not faith and then do some works to patch up where faith didn't make it. No. You believe that Christ died for your sins, and there's nothing else to the gospel that you have to do. There's nothing you have to do. To him that worketh not, but believeth, it says, his faith is counted for righteousness. And that's not your righteousness. That's the righteousness of God, as it says in the chapter before, in Romans 3:22, compared to Romans 4:5. So you need to believe on Christ, the person. Not believe in him that he exists, believe on him. And I know there's a big difference between the other so-called translations of the Bible and what the King James, the pure, preserved Word of God says. But we're to believe on him. Commit the weight of your need of getting out of that condemnation and getting into salvation. Commit that to him. Believe that he died for your sins. When you read Israel's doctrine from Israel's 12 apostles, it will require works as well as faith. You'll see that as you read in the Bible. You'll see places where the Bible says it's almost like trust and obey, the song. In fact, that song is fairly Jewish with that aspect to it. But Acts 10:35, Peter said to Cornelius, but in every nation, he that feareth him, well, that's a good thing, isn't it? To fear God and to believe him, trust him. But it says, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Well, did Paul ever say we have to work righteousness to be accepted of him? No, he didn't. I was going to say I don't think so, but I know he didn't. We've studied it thoroughly, and he does not say anything. It's always faith without works. Romans 4:5 again. So Peter said it, though. Peter, one of Israel's 12 apostles, teaching the only gospel that Christ had commissioned him to preach. Our apostle of the Gentiles, however, Paul, never says that to us, that we need. You only need faith in what God said through his word about how he saves us today. He saves us by the sins that were on you, that the wages of sin is death. He took that sin on himself, and not took it, he became that sin, died on the cross for your sins and for your sin. You're saved if you receive it for yourself, what he's offering. And if you don't, you're not saved, and you're it's a good deal to receive it, I can tell you. So that's it's only Israel's doctrine that you have to add works to your salvation to prove it or whatever. And Israel is now blinded, and they're cast away. That is not a way to God. And their gospel doesn't work because of that. We have to believe Paul's gospel without relying on our own works to complete our salvation. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. Colossians 2, verse 10 says, "And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." What a majestic verse, man. In Christ, you're complete. He's over every... he's going to have his way in the end of things. And you're in him. You're complete in him as a believer. If you believe that God will only save you by Christ having died for your sins, if you add something to it, if you do enough good works, then you're polluting the gospel. You're adding to what was a pure gospel, what would have saved you, you're adding the pollution that keeps it from working. The works, your works. Or telling somebody else that they need to, you know, well, of course you got to be good too. No. Paul was not good until Christ saved him and, you know, gave him his righteousness, imputed it to him, he says. So, that mixed gospel of faith and works is no longer the gospel of your salvation. If you think that as an insurance policy you're going to do some good works and believe that with both believing and working that will really get you in the gate of heaven, then that is simply not trusting the gospel of salvation by which God said he would save you. You're keeping yourself out of heaven. Trust him. God said that he did it all for you. If you can't believe that, then you're not believing the gospel. Not adding to what Paul preached for salvation includes, you know, in other words, keep yourself from adding to it. Just believe what Paul said. And that's the same as not adding what Peter only preached to the Commonwealth of Israel for their salvation, adding that. Don't add that to what Paul preached either. That was kind of a complicated sentence. But don't add to the faith-only nature of the salvation that we have. Faith in Christ. Now, you can believe a lot of things and not be saved. You can believe the earth is round or the earth is flat. You can believe... that Christ died for your sins and not be saved if you don't entrust your case to him, your situation to him, your condemnation, that need you have to get out from under that condemnation, entrust that to him, that he died. The blood of the cross is what saves you. So, when you're believing that he died for your sins, you are believing on him. You're believing on him to life everlasting. And you're believing on his ability to forgive all those sins that you have or ever will commit. And to give you life. Quickening, it's called in the Bible. Life. How? By hanging on the cross. Dying your death there. Dying the death that your sins required. Just think about if he hadn't done that, what a position you'd be in. You know, there'd be no way out. But really, are you trusting him and God that raised him from the dead? You know, you're not just believing the fact of what Christ did on the cross. You're trusting your salvation to him. It's not just the fact that you are believing. We must follow Paul, the chief of sinners. As he came to God as a condemned sinner needing God's grace, that's how we come to God. It's God that saves, but by the pattern that that God set up starting in Acts 9. You won't find it before Acts 9. It's not in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He saved the first person saved that by that pattern, Paul. Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus in Acts 9. And if you believe that Christ died for people's sins, well, that's a fact. He did. But if you believe he died for your sins, and that you're the sinner, making it personal, that Christ died for your sins, including for me and for my sins, then you're believing on that person, that Jesus Christ was doing it for you, and in your place, he died for your sins. In your trusting on him, then if you believe that it applies to you yourself, then you are receiving it. That's what that word is about there. Twice he uses it in those first four verses of 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 1 and verse 3. Let's look at it again. Starting in verse 1, 1 Corinthians 15, 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, and by which also you are saved. And both the first verse and the third verse state the facts that, you know, that those facts of how he can save us need to be received by the believer, not just acknowledged as a fact that he did those things. So, I preached unto you the gospel which you have received. And he goes on, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you. It was Paul that delivered it unto them. First of all, that which I also received. Paul had to receive it. Welcome to the room. Paul had to receive it himself, not just believe it was true. And according to Paul, in the third verse, he preached to them the saving gospel by which he himself had been saved when he submitted to Christ's call on the Damascus Road. By believing what Christ was doing in him, not striking him dead instantly because he was like Ananias and Sapphira, he was a blasphemer of the Holy Ghost. He spoke against the Holy Ghost when he stoned Stephen. He said, I was in consent to his death. He spoke against the Holy Ghost. So by believing what Christ was doing in him, he received it to himself. And it goes on, the Bible goes on to say in verse 4, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. His resurrection is told about in the scriptures. His being buried, his dying for Israel's sins was told about in the scripture. In fact, he's writing to people that had been raised in the synagogues. They were either Jews or Jew blessers, coming to God through Israel's covenants, and especially that one covenant, the ones that were not born as a descendant of Jacob. They came to God through God's covenant with Israel that he would bless those outside of Israel that come and bless Israel, that help Israel, that accept God's program of how he's working with mankind at that time through Israel. Not anymore, he's not. They fell in Acts 7. A new pattern started in Acts 9 by which we can be saved today. So those things are in the scriptures. The Old Testament told that he would die, that he would be buried, and that he would rise again. It even told that God's righteous servant would justify many and bear the sins of many. But that does not get you saved. The trouble was that the scriptures never told how to appropriate that justification and salvation before it was revealed to Paul. It wasn't a mistake. God was keeping it a secret. And 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 to 8 tell us that. That's another lesson, though. What saves you is receiving it, that Christ died for our sins. Believing it for your own situation. That's the value of verses 1 and 2 in the 15th chapter. They tell us how to receive God's salvation to ourselves, not just how He earned it for us, the remedy. So by believing the good news of what God did for us in Christ on the cross. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. You have received it, he said, wherein you stand, by which also you're saved. Well, what is that if in there for then? This gospel of salvation, that's what it is. It's not some kind of a gospel of how to stay saved. It's a gospel of saved, of how to get saved. It tells you what to do or believe to get saved, and there's nothing to do. Christ did it all on the cross. There were works involved, but none of them are yours. It's God's works. God the Son on the cross died for your sins. So when considering to get saved or not, and the gospel of salvation, keep in memory what Paul preached about it, not what the others preached. Before Christ revealed the mystery to Paul in Acts, it was after Acts 8, before Acts 9, there was nothing in God's word about how we can get saved today. It was a mystery. It was kept secret. Before Acts 9, it was all about Israel and Israel's kingdom coming out of heaven. And it will come out of heaven. Those are not false just because it hasn't happened yet. There are many prophecies. All the prophecies had to be waited for to some degree before they happened. So currently Israel is not God's people. And God is not Israel's God. Hosea 1:9, it's very clear. At the present time, Israelites must come to God like any other individual today, as a sinner. 1 Timothy 1:15 and 16. As a sinner needing the gracious Savior that Paul preached. Paul said, keep in memory what I preached unto you. You're actually trusting Christ that He died for your sins, and that it includes all your sins. All of them. All that will ever be credited to you, or that would have been. All that your members commit, put it that way. They're all died for, whether you've committed them yet or not. What good would it be if all except one was died for by Christ? Do you believe that Christ satisfied God by dying for your sins? If so, then you're believing on the person, Jesus Christ, that He died your death for you in your place. And that's what's needed. That's receiving Christ. Receiving the gospel. The gospel in 1 Corinthians 1 through verse 1 through 4 is about how to become a saved person. It's about what to do or believe in order to be, well, for God to save you. He saves you and He gives you His righteousness. Saves you from His wrath. As we just found out, there's nothing to do. It has all been done by Jesus Christ on the cross. All that there is left to do is to believe. Just believe without trying to do anything. There are no works or actions required or allowed in salvation. In the salvation, once you're saved, you should. It says you should do good works, which we should do. And that's true. We should. We've got new power to do it, though. We've got God's Holy Spirit sealing us and residing within us. Amen. So, if you are still on the line, on the border there, and insisting to do something to help get saved, it merely makes the gospel ineffective to you. So, you need to trust just God, just the gospel that He has given us in the Bible. And, you know, if you need more trust, more faith, faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. Get into the Word of God. Start studying the Bible, starting in Romans, the first epistle by in the Bible by our apostle, the apostle of the Gentiles, Paul. So these verses are the gospel of salvation, the gospel of how to get saved, not anything about how to stay saved. That's intrinsic to the word. I mean, you're saved, you're not lost, you're not going to hell. If you went to hell, you never were saved. So, at the time when you, again, when you're deciding whether or not to get saved, whether or not to believe that the death penalty for your sins was paid by Christ dying for your sins, then as you consider and decide, Paul says to keep in memory what I preached unto you. Because the gospel of Christ, that Christ revealed only to Paul, is different from all the gospels before Paul. Don't get confused. It's confusing to mix up the doctrines, but God did not mix them. God separated them, and He said for us to rightly divide them. Ever since Abraham, Israel's doctrine was separated from the doctrine of the rest of the world, from the rest of the world's beliefs. Look at Genesis 12, verse 1. Genesis 12:1 says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred," there's a separation there, "and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee." Talking about separation. Look at Exodus, Ezekiel. I always get those. Not Ezekiel, but Exodus. Exodus 33, verse 16. Exodus 33:16. "For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are on the face of the earth." Leviticus 20, verse 24. And 26 too, verse 24 and 26 in Leviticus 20. "But I have said unto you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people." Verse 26, "And you shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that you should be mine." They couldn't be His if they were mixing with unholy people. And in 2 Timothy, verse 15, 2 Timothy, 2nd chapter, verse 15, Paul tells us to study and to rightly divide. That's a separation there, isn't it? Rightly divide the word of truth. That's the gospel of our salvation, what we've been talking about. He says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed." Rightly dividing. There's a separation there, a cutting. Rightly dividing the word of truth. The word of truth is the gospel of our salvation. And Paul received it from Christ. He received the ministry to preach the gospel of the grace of God. That was later on that he received that, to preach it to all men, not just to the Jews and the Greeks. Paul tells us to rightly divide between his gospel and the rest of the Bible. You can only find Paul's gospel of salvation in Paul's 13 epistles, Romans through Philemon. So, in closing, What was it that Paul came to believe during that experience on the road to Damascus? What was that pattern that God said he started then? 1 Corinthians 15:3, I delivered unto you that, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. And Paul also received that. That's the gospel which he received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. All the believer's sins are paid for, and God imputes his own righteousness to the believer. Amen. All right, done with this for now. We'll plan to get back to it tomorrow, about 2 hours earlier than where we are now. And time for questions that may have arisen.